Twice a whole lot smarter. Get the Karelcast app free at the App Store of your choice now.
All right, it is the Karelcast. I am Karel. We are in the kitchen. You know I'm a plant-based eater, and I advocate for it. But I want to talk to you about some numbers that I just saw about cooking. Now, pre-pandemic, 28% of Americans fessed up to not knowing how to cook, as in, like, wouldn't know how to boil water. And of the 70% that were left, only 20% of them cooked a meal a day. And I read some other astounding statistics today about how 70% of people in this one survey, they could not identify accurately more than five fruits or vegetables. I mean, we really, you know, outside of all the political crap going on, which I'm sort of tuning out of today in a lot of ways, because I realize now it's all a game, and we're going to talk about that, I thought we'd go back to basics. And one of the basics is the carrot. Now, you know, they always say eat your carrots, they're good for your eyes. You'd actually have to eat bushels of them to get that much vitamin K. But they are good for you. They have lots of nutrients. And you should eat your carrots. And you overlook carrots. And you don't serve them a whole lot. Most of you don't serve them a whole lot. And you certainly don't think of them for soup. But today I'm going to show you the simplest, easiest soup. Because again, it's going back to basics, okay? Getting back to basics. That's what the whole theme of today's show is. Like, we got to start getting back to basics. Okay, back to Maxine Nightingale's in my head. Get it right back to where we started from. And one of the basics is we need to know how to cook, how to eat. And 50% of the people surveyed said that after the pandemic, they were going to cook more. So if you're one of those people trying to cook more, I'm here for you on my talk show. That's right. It's not just a talk show. It's how to learn something. So today we're going to show you how with the simplest ingredients, it's so simple, okay, that you're going to be able to make soup. So you're going to have three. This is soup for one, by the way. Double everything or triple it, however, if you want to make it for more people. This is soup for one because a lot of you don't. You get recipes and they are for two or four or six or eight. No, this is just for you. So first you're going to take either three large carrots or six small carrots, okay? Either three large or six small. I use those rainbow carrots, of course, because I'm gay. So we're going to use the small. And then 1/4 of an onion. This was a large onion and this is 1/4. 1/4 of an onion. And then you're going to take 1½ cups of stock that you have that you've either made or that you've bought. And then you're going to have 2 tablespoons of peanut butter, a teaspoon of maple syrup, and 1 teaspoon of sriracha at the ready. That's right, good old cock sauce. And I use the low-sodium Pacific Organic vegetable broth. And, of course, maple syrup is 100% pure maple syrup. Don't use anything but. And that's pretty much it. Oh, and some basil. And I have some fresh basil right here, as in alive and growing. And so that's it. That's what you're going to use to make soup. That's everything. And your Ninja or your blender. So that's it. Now, how easy could that be? Carrots, onion, and then some seasoning, and you're going to have delicious soup. And I'm going to teach you the key to making it delicious over there when we cook over there at the stove. So first, we're going to chop things up, and we're going to talk to you about getting back to basics, not just with cooking, but with life. Now, take your carrots, and you don't have to make them beautiful chops. And today's also about having the right equipment in your kitchen or in your life. Okay, again, back to basics. If you don't have the tools you need to do the jobs you need to do, you're not going to do them well. We spoke about this last week, how I'm really not the person to try to sell people ads and sponsorships. I'm not good at it. And I have to find somebody who is if I plan on, you know, keeping going with life. The same thing with having, that would be the proper tool. That person would be a tool that I need. Well, guess what? Well, honey, yes, there are a few men out there with tools that I need. But we're getting back to that as well, and as well as cooking after the pandemic. That's encouraging, though. After the pandemic, 50% of the people who took up cooking during the pandemic, which was, by the way, it went from about 30% of people saying they cooked at least one meal a day at home. Out of all of America, only 30% before the pandemic cooked one meal a day at home, breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Only 70% did not even cook one meal a day at home. They bought it, they brought it home, whatever. Now, 70% during the pandemic say they cook at least one meal at home. Many people, 2 to 3. And of those 70% that say they cook now, 50% say they're going to keep cooking after the pandemic, which means 35% of America plans on cooking still, if you break that number down, which is still kind of sad, but it's better than the fact that 70% of them were not cooking. Now at least 35%, it'll be 70%, 35% not cooking instead of 70% not cooking. That's good. That's better. It's healthier. But getting back to basics and you know, in life and having the right equipment to do things. How many of you, by the way, just chop these into like 1 inch, 1/2 inch, 3/4 inch, whatever you're feeling at the time. Don't hurt yourself and always keep your fingers bent like this where your knuckles are against the blade and not your fingertips, because the blade doesn't care. Like in life, it will just take your fingertips and you'll see them there on the cutting board, as many a chef has done. So just coarsely chop your, because you're going to be pulverizing it. So coarsely chop your carrot, and then I want you to coarsely chop your onion. And we're going to cook that on the stove in a teaspoon of olive oil for 10 minutes. And then we're going to deglaze it with white wine, which is going to make it taste so good. And then we're going to cover it with stock and cook it for another 10 minutes. Then we're going to pulverize it in the Ninja, and then we're going to add the peanut butter, sriracha, and maple syrup as we pulverize it. So it's that simple. We're going to cook the carrot and the onion for 10 minutes in some olive oil. And then after we do that, we're going to add stock to that, and then we're going to cook it for another 10 minutes after we deglaze with white wine. And then we're going to pulverize it, and that's done. So that's no soup to soup in 20 minutes, and all you need is onion, carrot, peanut butter, hot sauce, and maple syrup, and some stock. And that's not that much. You should have those ingredients. Again, back to basics, having ingredients at your home. You know, why don't you have things to make soup? If you don't make your own stock, why don't you have some? Are you never going to eat soup? Do you not like soup? Are you an anti-souper? I realize, truly, you know, why don't you have stuff to make soup at your house? It's one of the simplest meals. We've been making it forever. So there's the onion and the carrot, and we're going to cook it over there in some olive oil for 10 minutes. And we're going to talk about basics. We're going to talk about getting back to basics again. There it is. And having the proper tools. Okay, having the proper tools to equip yourself in life to do the job you need to do. And that also includes, by the way, one of the proper tools in life is health. Health is one of the proper tools. It's one of the things you need. Trust me. How many of you used to hear people say, oh, you know, if you got your health? You hear these old people, if you got your health. Because they're old, okay? They're old and they know that if you got your health, okay? They're old and they know this, that if you got your health. So medium-high heat over here. And again, why don't you have a nice all-clad pan in your kitchen? Why don't you have the things that you need? You know, oh, look, my little thing fell off. I knew it was going to fall off. My little black microphone thing. I'm sorry if that messes with the sound. We'll put it back on in a minute. Right now, I got to get cooking. So going back to basics, having the equipment that you need to do the job well. Okay, and that's any job in life. Okay. Any job in life, you've got to have the proper equipment. You've got, honey, trust me, any job in life, you've got to have the proper equipment. You can't just, you know, and that's why Andrew used to always say when I would ask if I should buy this, that, or the other thing for business, he would be, look, if it's for business, you shouldn't even think about it. You should buy it. If you need it for business, you should buy it. Okay, so you've got your oil, you've got your all-clad pan or another pan. You're going to put your carrots and your onions in there. And then you're going to take just a tiny bit of the salt. I mean, just a little bit. I don't cook with much at all because of blood pressure. And then you're going to take your pepper from your fabulous pepper grinder, which is really a spice grinder. But pepper is a spice after all. And you're going to do that. And you're going to get a spoon. And you're going to look at the clock, and it's 3:20 for where I'm at. And you're going to start cooking for 10 minutes. Okay. So you can actually just let that cook. We are going to use a cover for it, but not yet. But you can have your cover out. And then I'm using some Chateau Saint Michel Riesling. That'll be what I'm deglazing my pan with. Okay. I feel my microphone doing a weird thing. I'm using a new microphone today. I apologize if it's dorky or honky. So going back to basics and getting the equipment that you need to launch forward. We know we have to change the way that we eat. And I think the pandemic showed us that and allowed us to, you know, start cooking more, to start bringing our health back to our food, to realizing that food is health. Now, the numbers that 70% of you started cooking more than one meal a day was very encouraging. And the fact that half of those people, meaning 35% of those people, are still going to stay cooking, added to the 20% that were already cooking, that brings us to more than half of America now is going to at least be cooking one meal a day. That, you know, right then and there is something incredible that the pandemic did. You know, they always say you got to look for the silver lining in things. Well, what was the silver lining of the pandemic outside of death and 600,000 dead people and politics and buffoonery and all of that? Well, I really believe that one of the pluses can be that we learned that we have to eat and we have to cook for ourselves and we have to, you know, take our diet into our own hands. Stir your onions and your carrots about every, you know, 2 minutes or so. Don't let them just sit there being carrots and onions on their own. But this is where the flavors start to develop. The onions are very sweet. The carrots, of course, have a lot of flavor in them. And this is where all that starts to develop. You just wanted the salt and pepper. That's all you wanted in there. Nothing else at this point. Okay, so while you're over here, you can start to get your blender ready because you're going to be putting your carrots and your stock and all of that in there once you cook it. So you're going to go back to basics, and you're going, once you get back to basics, once you get, and all of your things in life, how about take your personal relationships back to the beginning? You know, how about re-falling in love with the things you're in love with? I re-fall in love with Ember now every day. I really do. I'll see her little ears go up, or she'll do something just exceptionally Ember-esque cute. And I will just, my heart will just melt, and I will fall in love with her all over again. And, you know, what about you? Fall in love with the things you love and that you loved prior to the pandemic. Because with all the buffoonery going on in Washington, with the West about to burn up and we have no water, there are so many overwhelming crises that we've all got to get back to basics. And when we get back there, we have to start equipping ourselves with what we're going to need to move forward. And the first thing we have to equip ourselves with is being as healthy as we possibly can for the rest of our lives. Because from that will spring all of the ability to fight disease, to fight for your rights, to fight for a candidate, to fight for what you believe in, to be with your children and your grandchildren or your dogs or your cats or your ferrets or your hedgehogs, to be with whatever it is that you love. That all comes from a place of health first. And that's why we have to look at all politics. And I believe we have to look at all social issues as coming from a place of health. In other words, first of all, is it healthy for me to get involved? Listen to that. My gosh, isn't that something? Is it healthy for me to get involved, to be involved in whatever it is, you know, whatever topic I'm discussing with people, whatever you know, whatever cause I'm taking up, is this going to be healthy for me and my family? Okay, I hope our smoke alarm doesn't go off, by the way. These were so poorly designed for smoke alarms. How many of you have an annoying smoke alarm to where you think to yourself, I'll sleep through it now because I always hear it? So are you equipped psychologically and emotionally to get back to basics? Are you equipping yourself with the tools that you need to reemerge post-COVID? So many of us are having stresses and troubles with it. And of course, diet is going to help you reemerge post-COVID. Having good food and good nutrition and good nutrients in your body is going to help you when you're called upon in the stressful age that awaits us. And a stressful age awaits us. Just make no mistake about that. So as you reemerge, are you doing it as strong as you can? And as you reemerge, do you have the tools that you need to actually get the jobs that you need to get done, done? For many of you, the answer is no right now. You don't have those tools. You know, you just, either the pandemic took those tools away. Oh, carrot loose. Either the pandemic took those tools away, or you didn't have them to begin with, or now you have less money than ever to, if it's something you actually needed to buy. Now you have less, more money than ever. A lot of you might say, yeah, Carell, it's easy to cook in your kitchen. You're decked out. Well, A, it didn't happen overnight. And B, you don't have to buy everything brand new. I mean, you can get ninjas at thrift stores. You can get pots and pans at thrift stores. If you get a Calphalon at a thrift store, and guess what? If it's not in great shape, Calphalon will replace it, even if you bought it at a thrift store, because Calphalon's guaranteed for life. So is All-Clad. So they'll replace it. Anyway, so there, you can find ways to equip yourself, physically equip yourself with the things that you need, including stamina. You know, you got to have stamina to get through what lies ahead. It's not, as Betty White said, it's not going to be for the weary or for the weak. You know, reemerging into society a year and a half older isn't exactly going to be, Elizabeth's starting to caramelize beautifully, by the way, isn't exactly going to be easy for a lot of us, okay? So what are you going to do to have the tools, to be equipped with the tools that you need to move forward? Well, since we're in the kitchen, okay, how many of you listening or watching have a food processor? I have a Breville. It's over there. I'll show you in some other shot. How many of you have a really great blender, a high-powered blender? How many of you have something like an avulsion mixer, which is one of these, a hand mixer? I don't know. Can you see me on? Which camera can you see me on? Well, it's a hand mixer, an avulsion mixer. You know, how many of you have a stand mixer in your kitchen for mixing doughs and batters and things? You don't have to go out and buy all these all at once, but these are things that you actually need if you are going to cook. Because trust me, while there are other ways to do it, you don't want to do it that way. You know, you want to do it the easiest way because you want to save time in the kitchen. For instance, when a soup says it takes 20 minutes to cook, you want that soup to be done in 20 minutes. You don't want it to say it takes 20 minutes to cook, but it really takes an hour. Okay? So you got to have the proper tools. And in my kitchen, at least, it is a food processor, a high-powered blender, an Instapot of some kind, meaning a pressure cooker of some kind, an air fryer of some kind, a stand mixer. Over there I have a Zojirishi 2-quart hot water dispenser, because hot water is important to me in my kitchen throughout the day. I have my Breville tea maker, which is a pure indulgence, but it's mine. I have the Brava oven over here, which cooks with light. We've done many features on that. I have lots of pots and pans, lots of gadgets in all of the drawers. Everything is accessible. How about making your life easy? You know, people ask me, why is your kitchen so open, Carell? You know, why don't you like cupboards? And I'm like, it's not that I dislike cupboards. It's that it's a working kitchen. And when you're working, when you're at war, you want things to be easily reachable. Well, how about your life? Are the tools that you need, these tools that we're talking about when you're getting back to basic, are the tools that you need in your life to prosper and to succeed both personally and professionally, are they easily accessible to you? Or do you have to work at them? Because I'll tell you right now, we all take the path of least resistance. We'd like to think we're all just out there, you know, going upstream every day, but we're not. We take the path of least resistance. So if it's hard for you in the kitchen to cook, if things are put away everywhere, if things aren't easily accessible, if things aren't grouped in the way that you, like my baking area over there with the nuts and the sugar and the, you know, the flour and down below the baking powder, baking soda, all of it in one spot. If things aren't grouped like that in your kitchen or in your life, if things are not readily accessible to you into your life, well then, honey, your life is too hard. Okay, so now we have these beautifully caramelized carrots over here and onions. We're going to take this Riesling. We're going to pour it right in. And that makes a lot of steam. I hope it doesn't melt the eye camera up there. And we're going to make a horrible scratching noise, which is me deglazing this pan, getting, you know, the acid in the wine is what takes all this dark stuff off. But you want all that dark stuff. You need it. You crave it. This is some of the flavor that has been locked into the pan, and now you are taking it off and claiming it back as your own. Give me that flavor back. I want it. I need it. I gotta have it. That's right. Take the flavor back, just like I'm talking about taking your life back, getting back to basics. Get the tools that you need and get things, you know, start to get things done again. All right, look at that. Isn't that great? And see all the color from the bottom of the pan? It gone. See? Let that wine cook out of there. Have a little more in the pan. A little if you need it. You never know. Now, oh, does that smell like really good? Now you want to take your stock and put it in here. And you want to stir it about, doing the hokey pokey. And you want to add just a touch of water, maybe quarter cup, half cup, somewhere around there, because it's going to evaporate. And then you want to cover it, and you want to cook that for how long? 10 more minutes. All right. So you take back your life, you get back to basics, and then when you get back to basics, you get the basic equipment that you need to get your life and to keep your life on track, whether that's in the kitchen, in the bedroom, back at your job. And look, a lot of you are going to want to quit modern day life right now. You're not going to want to go through with it. It's hard. You know, this morning when I was about to do my 4.5 mile jog with Ember, I thought, I don't want to go do a 4.5 mile jog. It was, you know, overcast and muggy. It was 90 degrees and cloudy. Oh, but it's a dry heat, not this morning. So I'm out there with Ember and I'm thinking, oh my God, she's got her fabulous stroller because it's hot. So I don't I don't torture the girl. But she wants to run and play. And I figure, you know what? You'll feel better after you do this. So I went and I did it. It was hard. But guess what? As they say on Apple Fitness, you were made to do hard things. And we got to remember that. You know, humans weren't really made for cushy stuff. That's not us. We actually were made to do hard things. You think that learning all of this, you know, look, I was as foreign to this room before as most of you. Andrew did all the cooking. I did all the prepping. Oh, I could chop the hell out of an onion or a carrot, but then know what to do with it afterwards? No, that was Andrew. Once Andrew died, I had to call upon my life prior to him when I was the one that did the cooking. And I did it out of boxes and bags and widgets and wadgets, but I didn't really cook. Now I really cook, but do you think that was easy? No. And do you think that I get in here every day and just sing skip to my loo? I want to just cook 2 or 3 meals. No, I don't. But what's the alternative? The alternative is eating out, where I'm eating food that is not prepared by me and I don't know what they used in it. Even though it says it's vegan or whatever, it doesn't matter how much salt is in it. What fats did they use? Did they use coconut oil, which is just full of fat? Because I still don't want to die. I don't want to have clogged up arteries. I don't want heart surgeries. I don't want high blood pressure. I don't want obesity. So, you know, do you think that, yes, I love cooking. I do. It's second to entertaining with you all and you know, doing live stage shows and stuff and singing in the studio. Cooking is right up there with that. I love it. But is it always fun and fabulous? And do I always want to do it? Hell no. Well, that's life, right? You don't always want to do all the things that you have and need to do. You just do them because you have and need to do them. And you have to know how to do them. Look at that, by the way. Look at that. That's going to be the color of the soup. That is so beautiful. Now, we started this at 3:31, so it'll go till 3:41. And it'll just cook and simmer and cook and simmer. All right. By the way, that'll be a 20-minute segment on the show, and that's how I'll know that I did the soup in 20 minutes. Did I get it done in a 20-minute segment? We're going to talk about critical race theory next, by the way, or we already talked about it. Depending upon how the segments air in the show, you might have already heard about critical race theory, or you might be about to hear about critical race theory, because you're hearing about it a lot, and I know a lot of you are being like the people who are denouncing it. You don't really understand what it is. And so one of the things I do for you is I break it down. I tell you just the bottom line. And that's how I'm going to tell you the bottom line about critical race theory. But I don't always like being physically fit. I like when my doctor says you're a model patient. I like when they bring in the nursing assistants and say, this is what can happen if a person loses 100 pounds. That all feels good. But to get to that point, it's not, you know, this morning when I woke up, did I want to do 20 minutes of strength training and 10 minutes of yoga? No, but did I do it? Yes. Then did I go for a 45-minute jog run that turned into 90 minutes? Yes. And now am I doing a show? Yes. And have I worked on the Dorians today? Yes. Did I want to do all those things with them? No. We're all reemerging, and it's all happening so fast again, and we're being thrust right back into life. That's why I'm saying in some areas, we've got to go back to the basics, because as we move forward, we need to start from ground zero. And the first basic is you have to eat well, and you have to know how to do it yourself. You can't ignore it anymore. If you don't know how to cook, you need to learn. And that's one of the things I'm going to help you with. Because cooking goes to every aspect of your life. There's not an issue that you're having out in the world that I can't bring into the kitchen. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Like today, you need tools in your life in order to succeed, just like you need tools in the kitchen. Now, you don't have to have them. You can do anything you need with a knife, some fire, and a pot, you know, and you can get it done. But if you really want to be successful in today's competitive world, then guess what? You need tools. And in your life, it's the same way. You need the emotional tools, okay? Oh, those carrots are getting done, because that's what you want. You want to get the carrots done. You need the emotional, you know, you need to come from a strength of wellness inside. You can't be an emotional mess every day and reemerge out in this world. We've all been emotional messes for a year, up, down, and now the virus is coming back out. It's reemerging. As we reemerge, so is the virus. This Delta variant, it sounds like a bad country song. Delta variant. And it's nothing to really joke about, but we could be headed right to another just huge outbreak. And there are those that are vaccinated, like myself and you, and we're going to fare better than those that aren't, but we're going to suffer because of those that aren't, because A, we can still get it, and B, those that aren't vaccinated still work at places. There are doctors who aren't vaccinated, paramedics, police who are not vaccinated. There are grocery store workers who are not vaccinated. Everybody that you would just assume, they've got to be vaccinated. No, they're not. And when like someone says you have to be, like their employer, they try to sue, honey, and say, you can't tell us. Well, yes, we can. So as we get back to basics, we have to get there with the proper equipment to move forward, the proper physical and mental equipment, the proper actual equipment. Like maybe it's time for you to get a new car. And if it's too hard right now to get a new car, maybe it's time to really fix the old one. You know, maybe it's time for you to think about selling your house. I know they say now is not a great time to buy or sell, but they're at peak value. Maybe you should sell and rent for a year and then move someplace else. I don't know. I just know that we have to start getting back to basics and back to life. That's why we're using the lowly carrot today in this really easy carrot soup, which is sort of a Thai-based carrot soup. It's got the peanut and the sriracha and some fresh basil. It's almost done, by the way. We're almost ready to go with it. So I hope you've enjoyed being in the kitchen with me, learning how to make a basic carrot soup. Everybody can do this. You can do this. It's so easy. It's so delicious. It's like gourmet restaurant carrot soup, and you've made it in your kitchen with a blender and some basil, some hot sauce, some broth, some peanut butter, some maple syrup, a carrot, and an onion. I mean, you know, couldn't be much simpler than that. And you've thought about moving on with your life, moving forward, reemerging. And as you've thought about that, you've thought about what equipment do I need to do that emotionally, and what equipment do I need physically, and what do I need to get serious about, and what do I need to incorporate into my life and keep incorporated. And I can tell you right now that cooking, look at that, if y'all could smell that, lordy be, that cooking, you're not supposed to put hot items in a blender, by the way. You're supposed to let this cool down, but I never do. And that's because of the pressure. And I'll show you in just a moment how to avoid having your stuff in your blender go all over the place. All right. So there, that's done. We need some basil, honey. Remember Tony Basil? I said that in the store the other day. And some like four people said, no, who is that? I said, you know the song, Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. They were like, no. So throw like a teaspoonful of basil in there. The more basil, the better, truly. Isn't that spectacular? Look at that. Alrighty. And now on my blender, I'm going to put this on here. And we're going to do a little cheat. There is a thing on it that says lift to release vacuum, which is what I'm going to do right now. See, I just did. Then I'm going to take a rag, because I'm not an idiot, and I'm going to put it over here, and I'm going to lift that. I'm going to turn the ninja on pulse and pulse it for a couple times. Pulse. Do you hear that? But because I released the vacuum, it's not really spewing everywhere, which is great. I'll pulse it again. And now high we go. Now, you want to add in your peanut butter, maple syrup, and sriracha. Bye. You want to blend again or food process again or whatever you're using. You could also do this in a food processor, by the way. You don't have to do it in a blender. I'll lift that. See, there was already pressure, under pressure. Put it on high. Away it goes. Voila. And as, lift your vacuum here. And as promised, in 20 minutes, we have delicious carrot soup from nothing but three large carrots or six small ones, a quarter of an onion, some peanut butter, some sriracha. You know, the stuff that makes life beautiful. I'm going to taste it real fast. I won't lie to you. If it's good, it's good. If it's bad, it's bad. It's dinner. It's freaking delicious. Oh, my God. It's so good. I can't tell you how good this is. See, going back to basics, it always yields such great results. Mm-hmm. Having the right equipment. Being able to do your job and do your job well. By the way, if you seal this back up, that'll stay hot for you. All right, I am Carell. Let's talk critical race theory, shall we? It is Carellcast. I am Carell, and as you can see behind me, my kitchen is adequately destroyed, but the soup is marvelous, and I will be having it for dinner. Critical race theory has been in the news for a couple weeks now. You've heard lawmakers debating it. You've heard Fox News' head exploding over it. And, you know, if you're like me, you're like, okay, now what exactly is it? And in a recent poll, a recent survey, most people, when nailed down and said, you know, what is it, they didn't really know. And that's particularly the people who are condemning it. They have no idea what it means. But they're racist. And of course, the GOP is the party of seditionist, treasonous, racist. And so they're out there screaming against teaching our kids critical race theory. And here's why. I'm just going to read you a definition directly from the encyclopedia. Okay, Britannica, baby. This is it, the authority. So you will know, okay? And then I'll read you this, and then I'll break it down and tell you what it really is in one sentence, because that's what I do, okay? So critical race theory is an academic movement of civil rights scholars and activists in the United States who seek to critically examine the law as it intersects with issues of race and to challenge mainstream liberal approaches to racial justice. Critical race theory examines social, cultural, and legal issues as they relate to race and racism. Now, it originated in the 1970s in the writings of several American legal scholars, Derek Bell, Alan Freeman, Kimberly Crenshaw, Richard Delgado, Cheryl Harris, Charles Lawrence III, Mari Matsuda, Patricia J. Williams. In the 80s, it became a movement, reworking theories of critical legal studies with more focus on race. Both critical race theory and critical legal studies are rooted in critical theory. Now, don't get lost, because I'll tell you what all this means. An approach to social theory established by members of the Frankfurt School, which argues that social problems are influenced and created more by social structures and cultural assumptions than by individual and psychological factors. I will really tell you what that means in just a second. Critical race theory sees racism as systemic and institutional. This is key. Critical race theory sees racism as systemic and institutional rather than just a collection of individual prejudices of yours, of mine, of one or two companies, one or two states. No, no. It also views race as socially constructed identity, which it really is. The theory emphasizes how racism and disparate racial outcomes can be the result of complex, changing, and subtle social and institutional dynamics rather than explicit and intentional prejudices by individuals. Meaning, it's little things. The bad representation of blacks on TV, the bad representation of gays, this applies to gays too, the bad representation of Latinos, the laws that, you know, seem to be punishing just them, the fact that criminals are always portrayed, you know, little things, not overt acts of prejudice, you can't eat here because you're black or gay or whatever, not those things, but the little things that actually add up. So there are those that oppose it, and they oppose it for really stupid reasons. They say it relies on social constructionism, elevates storytelling over evidence, and rejects the concepts of truth and merit as opposed to liberalism. Yeah, that's been since 2020, by the way, that conservative lawmakers in the United States, this is in the encyclopedia, have sought to ban or restrict critical race theory instruction. Critics of the efforts to ban it say critical race theory has been unduly elevated in importance, that its contents have been misrepresented, that the lawmakers behind the bans fail to even define it, and that the goal behind these efforts is to silence broader discussion of racism, equality, social justice, and the history of race. In 1994, it was summed up by Roy L. Brooks as a collection of critical stances against the existing legal order from a race-based point of view. What is it? You've heard all of that. So what is critical race theory? It's real simple. Critical race theory is teaching kids and teaching each other that racism isn't just you or I being racist. It's that the institutions that racists have created, from police to, yes, even fire, unemployment, any kind of social program or colorblind law, isn't. Because while a law can be colorblind on paper, you can say that this law applies to everybody, no matter their color, the implementation of that law is not colorblind. And therefore, that law is not colorblind. The law might be written colorblind, meaning if you do this, you go to jail. But the implementation of it has never been historically colorblind. So those laws have been specifically targeting a group of people and leaving others alone for the same crimes. So critical race theory is the idea that we all know to be true. That racism, homophobia, bigotry, hatred of women, sexism, misogyny, it is all built right into every single bit of the law that there is. Women, you know this, under the law, you were allowed to be hit by your husbands, you know, and even now the law can still tell you what you can do with your uterus, your vagina. It, you know, critical race theory is the teaching that racism is not just overt acts of prejudice on behalf of the individual, you and I, but that it's institutionalized and it's small things over the course of years that have embedded it in all of these institutions. In other words, critical race theory is the truth. And of course, bigots and racists don't want the truth be told. And I know it's the truth. And do you know how I know it's the truth? Because as a gay person, 58 years old, churches are still allowed to say that their doctrines don't accept us, so they don't have to accept us. Bigotry is still allowed against us based on religious law. So, and if you don't think that standard law mimics religious law, or on the local levels and state levels, it does. So if churches don't have to accept gays, well, then neither do states and neither do counties and neither do bakers and neither do hotels and neither do, because they're religious based. But if we teach our kids that you not liking gays is because it's been taught to you by television, by law enforcement, by society, by government, saying that our unions didn't even deserve blessing, by arguing about whether or not we should still be able to be parents. That if you don't think it's those little things that have institutionalized the bigotry of homophobia or racism or misogyny, then you're wrong. And critical race theory is just trying to tell people the truth. And the truth is, our system was set up by white, straight men. The entire world was set up by white, straight sociopaths. And they don't want anyone to know that all the institutions they've created, from banking on down the line, favor white, rich men. But they do. And if we teach that these institutions all favor white, rich men, and that the law itself is racist, and that the institutions of education are racist by the way that they taught the minorities, by the way they still treat minorities and teach minorities, they're racist. Racism is institutionalized. But I guess, you know, in America today, we don't really want the truth. At least the conservative, the GOP, does not want the truth. I am Carell, and that is the truth. Thank you for joining me in the kitchen to make carrot soup. Again, it was so easy, right? It was like three large or six small carrots, a quarter of a big onion, some stock, and then peanut butter, sriracha, and maple syrup, and basil. And that's it. That's it. That's your soup. Isn't that something? I'm going to have it for dinner. I'm so lucky. All right. Don't forget to subscribe on Patreon. Don't forget to follow on YouTube and subscribe. YouTube.com/ReallyCarell. Follow me on Instagram, on Twitter. It's Really Carell. Go to the website, reallycarell.com. It's all there for you, girl. All the girl at the party. Look at all for you. It's all for you. All right. Until, what is today? Wednesday. So until Friday, until we get fresh for the weekend, until that happens, stay safe out there. COVID is on the rise again. Just be safe. You know what to do.
Make your device a whole lot smarter. Get the Carell Cast app free at the App Store of your choice now.